Hi, this is Kristen Johnson.
Hey, this is Arthur Huang.
This is Jen Wade.
Hey, this is Jason Monument.
Hey, this is Charles Wood.
Hey, this is Larry Johnson.
Hi, this is Chief Rita Spar, and you're listening to the UC Merced Podcast.
The UCM Podcast is brought to you by MasterCard. Do you have PayPass? Just kidding.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the issue segment for the UC Merced Podcast. This issue is about illegal file sharing. But first, a quick announcement from the Sophomore Society.
Hey, sophomores!
It's almost the end of the year, and there are a few more opportunities for you to find out the sophomore secret. Your objectives are as follows.
Number one, find the top secret for Yosemite by April 21st. Number two, for your next mission, a secret service operation that will help the community of Merced.
For our third mission, get ready for a super-soaking water balloon fight against past halls versus current halls.
And if all these missions proceed as planned, then get ready to end the sophomore year with a bang bang. Mark your calendar Tuesday, May 1st. Brought to you by Sophomore Society.
I interviewed a few students on how they felt about the issue and if they participated in it. Obviously, the names have been deleted and the voices have been distorted to protect the innocent. Or is it guilty? Some joked about it.
2 gigs in 2 minutes.
Especially when you use the school.
School's internet is great.
And
access to
and you're
music,
sharing with people, sharing is caring.
Some were too nervous to say anything.
Do you download illegal files? No? Trust me, you're anonymous. I'm not putting any names on this.
I don't even know what the question is.
Some downright lied.
No, dude, it's wrong.
Have you ever downloaded movies before?
No, why?
And some absolutely loved it.
Oh, all the time. It's pretty much the best thing that was ever invented. You can get anything you want, anytime you want. Movies, games.
Books.
Books, anything you want, really. It's all there on the net.
Saves you gas.
Yeah, exactly. Gas.
And packaging that you don't want.
Yeah, packaging. You don't have to get anything shipped to you. It's all right there. At the click of a button, all I gotta do is move my wrist and I have everything I want.
While the Recording Industry Association of America and the Motion Picture Association of America have been suing tens of thousands of people over illegally sharing large amounts of copyrighted material since 2003, file sharing continues to grow exponentially each year. However, on February 28th, the RIAA announced a new campaign focused on universities. Each month, it will send out 400 pre-litigation settlement letters to different universities notifying the identified students that they have been caught illegally sharing intellectual content. They also state that students are being given a chance to settle outside of court. The letters act as a deterrent, each including a list of IP addresses that correspond to a student, staff, or faculty member being identified as sharing files without proper consent. Once the letters are received, university officials are then responsible for distributing them to the properly identified people. The letters state that they can either settle outside of court for a cash payment ranging from $3,000 to $5,000, or face a lawsuit if no response is given in 20 days. The first batch of letters went out at the beginning of March to 13 different universities, including Arizona State, North Carolina State, Ohio University, Syracuse, and USC. You'll be glad to know that none of the UCs made the list. Yet. I first spoke with Latrice Curl, UC Merced's Director of Judicial Services, and asked her how the RIAA would approach the university and how the Judicial Services personnel would handle it.
When you were in Irvine, how did it all work out when they approached you?
We would get notified. Our ResNet program, which was in the housing area, they would get notifications from the RIAA or NPAA talking about students had access or were sharing programs that they hadn't paid for. We would get those notices in residence life, and we would call students in to meet with them about that, again, to let the students know that they were in violation of housing policy and also law. And so I really tried to work with the students to get them to understand their responsibility as individuals and private citizens, but also to the university, because their access to the internet was being provided by the university. And ultimately what that meant is that put the university at risk for a lawsuit.
The first student I spoke with felt that downloading for free was bad and did not participate in any of it at all.
So then how do you get your content? How do you get your digital media? Or do you even listen to music?
Yes, I listen to music. I purchase my music, thank you very much.
Or
I get it from my friends, which is, I guess, like Napster. But I'm not downloading illegally.
Where do you get your music from? Like, what stores do you purchase from? Do you actually download your music from iTunes?
I buy CDs.
You still buy CDs?
Yeah.
What are the current prices of CDs these days, anyways? Are they still the same?
I think the last one I bought was like 12. Yeah, they're like the same.
The same? Wow, inflation has no effect. But what about the DRM restrictions, digital rights management restrictions they put on those songs you download from them? How do you feel about those?
Well, I think...
Okay, so all costumes.
Well, when I'm not too familiar with them.
It's basically makes them MP4. So that when you download off iTunes, you could only use them on iTunes. However, there's a catch to that, which I do. I download off iTunes, and then I burn them on a CD, and then I rip them from a CD, and it's basically copying them to your computer on a CD into MP3 format.
You can convert that quite easily, right?
Oh, yeah. And that way, I can use it on other players other than iTunes, because sometimes I don't want to use the iTunes player.
So Steve Jobs recently made an announcement about asking different record companies to drop all the DRM content in their music, and to just allow people to download content from iTunes without any restrictions at all, without any number of CD burns or any number of plays or any number of, I guess,
oh yeah,
MP3 players that can play their music.
It's like how many times, one of that is how many iTunes can you put that bot song on? And then I transferred one song to another, it's like you have four more chances to get a license to put this song. And that is a pain in the ass. It's because I paid $1 for that song. It should be mine.
So how do you feel about Steve Jobs making that announcement? Do you think it'll fly with the record companies?
He's had such a monopoly over it. And iTunes, there have been a lot of complaints on it. Like, you see it online on, like, Gizmodo and Dig and stuff like that. People don't like it. So this is just, I think it's a little late that he's doing that. But I'm glad he's doing it.
You think it's going to work?
I think it'll work, yeah. Because so many people use iTunes, even with all those restrictions that... I mean, I'm sure people are rejoicing. If you checked Lit and Gadget or something right now, I'm sure people are happy. I don't know. When did this news come out?
About a week ago.
But
hold on. If you're saying it's so successful, though, with people downloading content already, even with the restrictions, why would companies have an incentive to drop their restrictions then?
Because then they would have more reason to download. Because a lot of the reason why a whole bunch of people weren't using iTunes and refused to use iTunes is because of those restrictions.
It would pull in the people who were
reluctant.
So now instead of having a $1 billion industry, you can have a multi-billion-dollar industry. Oh, yes, money.
Money seems to be the key word here. But why didn't record companies realize this sooner? I asked two students if they felt it was okay to download and share music for free.
Yeah.
Why?
Because the artists are freaking millionaires. The crying over an album. I grow up, right? I mean,
they make so much money that it really
doesn't... Yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, Dr. Dre raps about all this money he has, and then he's like, oh god, you guys are downloading my music. You're supposed to be like a gangster from Compton. Like, I don't know why that matters.
What if artists lowered the prices for their CDs, or for their songs also?
Well, yeah, I'd probably buy it. Because CDs are like almost $20.
And as long as the CD had all good songs, right? Not like one good single and then all fillers.
Yeah, yeah, I hate that stuff.
Do you remember when that happened?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, if it's an artist that I like, you know, Lil Wayne is coming out with the Carter 3. Like, I'll probably go buy that CD because I like him.
I asked some other students what they felt would be a good price for songs.
Maybe if they were like looking at 5 or 10 cents a song, I'd be willing to pay for
that. Are you serious?
Yeah.
You would charge a nickel to your credit card to buy a song?
No, I wouldn't be charging a nickel. I'd be charging a bunch of songs.
So
you know,
you'd be
implied
to buy more songs at one time than if they were so cheap.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I asked these two if they were afraid of getting caught by the RIAA and MPAA, to which they replied,
no, I figure there's people out there like DJs and stuff downloading thousands and thousands of songs a day. Those are the people they should be after, not me, who downloads, you know, 5 or 10 songs at a time and then, you know, whatever.
Are any of you uploading a lot as well?
No.
Oh, no, I don't know.
I make sure that I don't share anything back.
All my stuff is secure.
I take it, and then I take off uploads.
When you download, right, are you guys' connections at home fast enough, or do you like to come onto campus and use the campus connection, the T3s?
I'm plenty fast at home.
Yeah,
I can still get like 150, 200K a second. That's more than sufficient.
Even with you and your roommates all downloading at once?
Yeah. It's plenty fast. Yeah, I don't know. They got some wicked technology nowadays, but you know, campus is pretty quick. Downloading here is all right.
No,
definitely.
See, freshman year was crazy.
Yeah, freshman year was crazy. Plug into the jack in the wall and you get 500K a second like that. It's pretty quick.
I also asked Dr. Alex Wally, an economics professor on campus, what he felt about the RIAA's tactics.
What is it? It seems like the RIAA is pursuing really a model where they're trying to threaten students or threaten people to sort of stop downloading stuff. It doesn't seem to me like they're actually trying to extract so much revenue through the settlement process. It's more just trying to discourage legal downloading.
Do you think it's really working?
I don't think so.
Do you yourself participate in any illegal downloading activity?
No, I don't.
Do you actually buy your content online?
I'm actually very old-fashioned. I buy CDs.
Oh, you buy CDs? Really?
Yeah, I still buy CDs. So.
Okay, so you never use iTunes at all?
No. I don't. So you can tell I'm a faculty member, not a student.
What about a lot of your peers and your friends?
Yeah, I definitely know people that download stuff.
Do they download it from iTunes legally or illegally?
Just wherever they can get it. Yeah.
Wherever it's easiest or wherever it's cheapest?
Wherever it's easiest.
The last students I spoke with had an interesting form of protection from getting caught by the RIAA and MPAA.
Do you have any fears of being caught?
No, because we have peer guardian.
So good! That's the best answer!
What is peer guardian?
Peer guardian renders you invisible to all the people that are tracking you.
Really? Do you, that are attracted to you?
No,
that
are tracking you.
Okay. Do you know how it protects you? And are you sure
it's
protects
an
you?
IP filter.
Yes.
Really? So it filters every IP that goes in and out of your system and cross-references it to a block list on the internet.
A block list?
Yeah. Yes, what they do is that the people that are tracking you, they'll pose as a fake like IP address, and so when you download something, it goes into their database, and so once they have your IP number, they start tracking your moves, what you're downloading, and they can get you for that and sue you. So what Peer Guardian does, it renders you invisible to them, and so if you try to download them, they have actual, a history of like all the IP addresses that are that does that, and they block like the bad IPs.
Wouldn't you think the RIAA or the MPAA would have found a way around this yet? How long has this been out?
It's been out. I don't know. They just came out with a new one, Peer Guardian 2, so well, I think new, it's been out for a while.
Is that the software gets upgraded to block out new ways to bypass the system.
Yeah.
It's always like that. Updates.
How often do these updates come out? Often enough for you to feel
whenever
safe?
Whenever it's necessary.
Well, the actual block list is updated, like, I think every 6 hours or
something. No, it's every, like, and it's every hour.
Every
block
hour.
List is updated every hour because they have people that are actually working to find all these bad IP addresses.
To validate this, I spoke with UC Merced's IT person, Faust Gorham, whose formal title is Chief Information Architect and Web Services Manager.
So, Faust, as an IT person, what do you think about that? Do you really actually believe what they say?
Yeah, so, I mean, two things about Peer Guardian. So Peer Guardian, as I mentioned, does work off of this block list. But that's only going to catch 99, maybe, you know? I mean, it's a human effort, it's somewhat automated, but it's not going to catch everyone. Pretty good, but may not be perfect.
So the technicality then, the filtering your IP, it will work. It does mask you.
It's not a masking process. What it is if one of those IP addresses match, your IP address won't get sent to it. In other words, you can't get to that site.
Oh, good.
So it's not like it's really, I mean, block. It's more like you just won't be able to access that anymore.
Right.
That's a bad site. Okay. So, as opposed to actually like doing some type of masking or some type of anonymous type of technology.
The only flaw in it really is just the human aspect of it all. How fast they can get to those IPs to make sure that they get evaded.
That's right.
Okay.
Yep.
Awesome. In terms of our servers, though, and our networks here at UC Merced, mm-hmm. are you actually able to track what types of files are being downloaded and uploaded on our network?
No. What we can do is we can tell what ports are being used, right? And we know on certain ports that certain types of applications are running on those ports. Like, for instance, like port 80, right? That's a web browser. You know, port 443, that's a secure web browser. And when something's on that port, we sort of know what application is being used.
Okay.
Right. But we don't know the purpose of that.
Right.
So in other words, it's like it's hard to say, BitTorrent, it's being used solely for file sharing, for illegal file sharing, because it could be being used for research applications, for transmitting X-rays, you know, sort of as we already mentioned, right? As well as legal and illegal file sharing.
Have any of the faculty members come up to you and specifically stated, I'm going to be using BitTorrent to widely distribute certain large bitmap files or large atlas pictures?
Not to me, but it has to others.
What is the maximum speed that you can achieve downloading at our networks here?
So we have a 1 gigabyte pipe from our campus to sort of our backbone, our provider, and from campus to the provider. So 1 gigabyte is the theoretical max. We can increase that, but that's sort of our current maximum. Yeah.
Do you have any plans in the future to sort of throttle certain ports and applications?
We started that discussion. A lot of the other UCs are already doing that, especially to the residential areas, and so we may throttle up. So in other words, download, you can download at whatever speed you can achieve, but if you're actually providing files, we may throttle that so it's like a 128 kilobit, right? That way it's like we don't become a server or a host for certain things, but students can still download whatever they need for academic research and or personal purposes.
Now, I've read somewhere on the web in a forum that there's a way to get around port throttling, though.
Yeah, it's, I mean, if you keep sort of switching out ports so that we don't know what port you're actually using anymore. So, like, for instance, say we're using port 100 for something, and then you change it to 101, so that the community changes to 101, that wouldn't look like a port that is necessarily something we need, right? And so it would work for a while until we found that.
On the heels of Steve Jobs' informal request to the record companies to drop all DRM restrictions, EMI announced on April 2nd that it will take Steve's advice and offer all of its songs DRM-free on iTunes. Not even 2 weeks later, The Beatles, a band signed under the EMI label, have finally joined the iPod revolution. Up until now, The Beatles have refused to allow their songs to be distributed online, but on April 12th, EMI and The Beatles had settled a £30 million deal over royalty payments. Soon, fans will be able to download The Beatles collection on iTunes. The question is no longer if, but when. Thank you again for listening, UC Merced, and stay tuned for the educational segment. Oh, real quick, I decided to include some outtakes for this segment. Come join our Facebook group and let us know if you like them, and I'll be sure to include them in every segment.
Hey, sophomores!
It's almost the end of the year, and there are a few more opportunities for you to find out the sophomore secrets. Your objectives are as follows.
Otra vez!
Hey, sophomores!
It's almost the end of the year.
Okay, let's do it!
Ready? Hey, this is Jason Mon. You're listening to UC... What is it? Hey, this is Jason Mon. You're listening to UC Merced, Bob.
Do I have to say the same thing?
I'm a kind god.
Hi, this is Charles Wu, and you're listening to the Museum Set podcast. Try to sound enthusiastic.
What am I? Should I start now?
Yeah, start now.
Hi, this is Jason Mon. You're listening to the UC Merced podcast.
Hey, it's Larry Johnson. This is the UC Merced podcast.
Do you mind if I record? Can I record?
Yeah, I may not talk.
Gotta love UC Merced.